You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
This is the CRM Archaeology Podcast. It's the show where we pull back the veil of cultural resources management archaeology and discuss the issues that everyone is concerned about. Welcome to the podcast. Hello and welcome to the CRM Archaeology Podcast, episode 251 for November 16th, 2022. I'm your host, Chris Webster. On today's show, we talk about those bingeable shows and podcasts that will take you through a long day in the field or the lab. So don't forget to renew your Netflix subscription because the CRM Archaeology Podcast starts right now. Welcome to the show, everybody. Joining me today is Heather in California.
Hi, everybody.
Andrew in California.
Hello, everyone.
And Doug in Scotland.
And daughter, Doug and daughter.
Doug and daughter, sorry.
Lone wolf and cub.
So, yep. Lone wolf and cub, yeah. So today we are going to keep it a little bit light and we're going to talk about Doug's topic today. So I'll just throw it over to him to have him introduce it. So Doug, what are we talking about today?
Yeah, so this is the box set / podcast episode, which is, yeah, we all do it. You know, sometimes it's on the way to a project where you have a 12-hour or 11-hour or 8-hour drive. Sometimes it's, you know, just actually your commute every morning. You might have an hour or two or three or four to get to your site. Maybe it's to the office. And maybe you're just like working in the lab and you need something to listen to. So this is our episode about like, what do we find are good like box sets for like TV, for also like, you know, evenings when you're getting done with the field and you just want to zone out and watch something? What are your go-to shows and, you know, what are your go-to podcasts for either when you're working out in the field or the lab? And of course, health and safety first, you know, obviously doing nothing dangerous that requires you to be able to hear. But when you're in those instances, what is it you guys listen to? Chris, if you don't mind, I'll throw it to you first.
Well, you know, regarding podcasts, I'm probably not the best one to ask that question, to be honest with you, because most of the podcasts I listen to these days are Archaeology Podcast Network podcasts. And I'm not saying that as a plug. I'm really not. It's just like, as you know, the founder and owner of this network and somebody who hosts three of the shows, I listen to every podcast as they come out, usually on the day or within that week anyway that they come out, just because it's almost a quality control thing. I want to be able to give feedback and pointers to the hosts, but I also learn quite a bit. You'd think that editing most of the shows, I'd be able to listen to these and hear them, but I'm not listening for the content mostly when I'm editing them. It's a different mindset when you're doing an editing job. You're really listening for the vocal crutches and you're listening for, you know, misspeaks and things like that. When somebody, you know, we try to clean that stuff up to make the flow just better. We don't edit for content, but we just try to clean that stuff up. So I actually learn a lot. And the shows that I don't host, like Archaeo Animals, I don't know anything about zoo archaeology. So I listen to that and I really get a lot of good information out of that. Heritage Voices, again, I'm not an ethnographer and Jessica, the host, is. And that's kind of her perspective on how she interviews people. But it's not just about ethnography. It's about all kinds of things. And the Life and Ruins show is just entertaining. Carlton, David, and Connor, they do a really good job. On top of that, Andrew, one of the hosts on this show, has reignited the Pseudo-Archaeology podcast. So, again, I didn't want to really, you know, highlight the APN on that as like a commercial, but that really is most of what I listen to. Now, when I'm not listening to that kind of stuff, and because I actually have quite a bit of time, especially right now, we're moving quite a bit in the RV because we're just like making our way across the country in like 2 months, but that means we're moving like every weekend. And so, you know, I've got a lot of driving time and I listen at 2.25 is my usual speed that I listen to podcasts at. I've increased it from 2.5 is just almost too fast, but 2.25, your brain really gets it. So I can listen to a little over twice as many shows in the same period of time. But I listen to a lot of podcasts on podcasting. If you're interested in that at all, School of Podcasting, Podcasters Roundtable, The Feed by Libsyn, there's a few others. And then when I'm not listening to those, I tend to listen to more, I guess, business-focused podcasts like The Jordan Harbinger Show and some of John Lee Dumas's podcasts and, you know, a few others, Tim Ferriss, stuff like that. Some of the popular ones that are more like business and professional development type stuff. So if you're interested in those type of topics, then that's great. I see podcasting as a learning platform and a way to get things. Other people listen to podcasts in part as entertainment because they want to escape, just like reading or watching a TV show, which I totally understand. true crime is pretty popular right now. A lot of people listen to true crime stuff. I don't know. I feel like if I'm spending my time doing that, if I have to spend my time driving, for example, then I want something that just keeps me engaged, keeps my mind learning, because I'm not able to work. I'm not able to do anything else. I want to be able to make that time productive. So I listen to something that advances my knowledge in one way or another. And I start with APN shows because I try to listen to those on time. Then I usually move to podcasting shows because obviously I'm a podcaster and I want to be better at it. And then I move on to like business and professional development and stuff like that. So from a podcast standpoint, that's my go-to. I can maybe talk about TV shows a little later, but if we're maybe covering podcasts, no, I'll let somebody else go.
Well, I'll be honest, we may have to jump to TV shows because I don't really listen to podcasts. Like,
you don't even listen to this show.
Yeah, actually, no. This is I occasionally like try to catch up on the episodes I miss, because it is, like you say, Chris, it is actually kind of nice to like listen to podcasts because you can learn quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I just like I unfortunately am not very good at multitasking.
It's good to recognize that too, right? Because if you're not, then you probably shouldn't.
I used to be able to do it. Like, you know, I'd go out and just dig a trench and like, you know, you're doing a one by one by yourself and you just need to get in the zone and go down, and it's fairly repetitive. Yeah, I can do that sort of multitasking, but like I can't like set a podcast up, because now a lot of stuff I do is digital. So like I really need to be paying attention to what I'm coding or what I'm video editing or something like that. And of course the video editing is tough because I also need to listen to the audio and stuff. So I don't actually have a lot of time to do podcasts. So other than like trying to catch up on old CRM podcasts, I got nothing as my go-to.
Well, and I agree with you too. I do a lot of, most of my work these days is done online, and I'm doing different things with, you know, different client projects and stuff like that. And I actually can't listen to podcasts when I'm doing that kind of stuff either. It's mostly while I'm driving or like, you know, going on a walk around a campground or RV park we happen to be at or something like that. But when I'm just like heads down on the computer working, it's usually like some sort of fast music. I wouldn't say quite techno, but something that's just like get your energy going and keeps you up. I call it my get shit done playlist. And it's just something that gets me going. So that's music. I can't hardly listen to podcasts when I'm doing stuff like that, because I just need the brain space for it. But looks like Andrew's got his hands up.
Yeah. So thank God I'm here, because I'm shallow, unlike the rest of you people. So stuff I listen to on podcasts, like I love the Rob Lowe podcast. Because Rob Lowe just talks about like kind of current movie stars and what they're doing or whatever. And he just sort of chills out and it's lighthearted.
Nice.
Plus, he's coming at you from the Santa Barbara area, which I kind of know because I went to UCSB. So I know the like streets he's talking about or whatever. So I like that one. I like the Moth. I mean, there's the Moth Radio Hour, but they also do their stories as a
shorter ones.
Yeah. Yeah. I like Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. Conan O'Brien just interviews funny people. You know, why not? I like the Serial podcast, which is one of those true crime ones.
Mm-hmm.
That one's, really. That's the, like, if you want the serious, in-depth, you know, multi-chapter story, that one's really great. And then, I mean, there's always your various news of the day. I like the Barry Weiss, I think it's called Honestly podcast. It's just like takes on the news of the day, but whatever. Yeah, I'm somebody who kind of puts those on in the background or when I'm driving, you know, and I think they're fun and lighthearted.
Yeah.
Well, I was just, I mean, the media was, you brought up something there, Chris, with like music and stuff. I think we might as well just expand this out to the full range of like, what's the media that you use when you're doing archaeology, or out in the field, or, you know, after a long day and you're in the hotel or motel, depending on how you've, or tent, depending on how you've been set up. But like, Chris, what's this music you're listening to? Britney Spears, well, greatest hits?
Honestly, I like anything. I don't really care about the genre, so to speak, because, well, I guess I do care about the genre, but it's more, I don't really care about the style of music within the genre. I just like stuff that is you know, when I'm trying to work, it's stuff that's like fast. When I'm not trying to work and maybe I do just want to relax, it really is just kind of lighthearted, you know, hits kind of thing, you know, stuff I know, you know, 80s, 90s, stuff like that. I just, something that is, I don't have to think about it and it's like feel good music, you know, stuff like that. It's kind of the way I see, since I'm not going to be on the other two segments, I got to leave early. It's kind of the way I see TV shows too. Like we have some of the things that we watch, like the whole, you know, right now in October of 2022, as we're recording this, obviously we've watched House of Dragon, you know, from the Game of Thrones series, and then the Lord of the Rings series that came out. We like that kind of stuff. But when it comes to like just watching TV in the evening, I know my wife likes a lot of drama, but I just like, if I'm literally not going to work while we're sitting watching TV, which is rare, I just want something that is funny. I prefer a comedy, you know, and I just want something that either is familiar to me and I like that, like from the past, or something new, that's fine. But I just like comedy. That's how I like to relax. I just can't sit there and chill with like a heavy drama that I really got to pay attention to, because I really don't want to pay attention. I focus so much throughout the day, and I've got meetings from midnight to 2 a.m. with my European clients right now. So I've got this break in the evening where I literally, if I'm not working, I don't want to think about something. I just want to sit there and laugh or not pay attention to it.
What are your go-to shows for that?
Oh, man, I don't even know. Like, we like Friends a lot. I mean, Call Me Basic, whatever you want, but we're big Friends fans. You know, Seinfeld. I love Frasier as far as classic TV shows go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm from the Seattle area, so it's nice to watch Frasier and kind of see some, you know, some old Seattle references. It's nice and comfortable. I like old, comfortable shows like that. You know what I mean? Just like a Big Bang Theory. That's a go-to favorite, to just pick up in any episode within the series, because you really just can do that. Like Seinfeld and stuff like that. You can just pop in and enjoy an episode. And you don't need to think about it or start from the beginning or something like that, especially if you know it. So those are kind of the old standbys. And then, I don't know, there's lots of comedy movies that I could probably name off, but I'd have to look. What about you guys?
You know, I am the same way. I am not a TV person. And my husband always jokes, like, really what we watch TV at the end of the day and in bed. And it is, I literally will fall asleep as soon as it turns on. So he's like, you know, like at sometimes, you know, he's kind. And of course, you know, it's a discussion, what are we going to watch? But he knows in the end, he's the one who's going to be watching it. So not me,
because I'm out
like a light.
Yeah.
And, but for me, if I have TV on, if I have it on when I'm walking and working around the house or working at home, it's the old standbys. And now I'm really going to date myself, because some like Murder, She Wrote is my comfort, comfortable show. Nice. Or Downton Abbey. I love Downton Abbey. The one problem with Downton Abbey, because I'm a huge Downton Abbey fan, is I will get sucked in no matter how many times I've seen it. So I don't always, that'll be a work around the house thing to watch, that not a work watch, because I'll be watching it more than working. And then like for music, when I'm working at work, I have like a playlist for my lab work and a playlist for when I'm writing. To me, John Denver, Anne Murray, the Carpenters are my, when I'm writing, because I can have that and it just makes me happy. Those songs, I don't feel like I have to sing along with them, although I do like doing that, but I can write and still listen to the song. When I'm in the lab, it's Pitbull, Eminem, AC/DC, Alt, Journey, you know, and so it's kind of a completely different genre, but so, you know, the hype them up type music. Yeah, for me. And for podcasts, I listen to this podcast. I'm usually on, but I definitely listen if I missed it. And I listen just to, you know, just to be critique of myself and wanting it to be better. I listen to Barry Weiss too, Andrew. I love her.
That's great.
And one, you know, if I'm ever looking for something that's a new podcast, my son is pretty good in suggesting. And there's one right now that I really like called Healthy Gamer. And he's a psychiatrist that kind of started with, you know, helping people not be addicted, I guess, to gaming. But he touches all different kinds of topics. And he has guests on that he's just, you know, he doesn't say this is like I'm helping these people really, although I really do think he does. But they understand that they're you know, going to have this conversation with the psychiatrist, and the people are going to listen. But it really touches on some pretty common issues in society today. And it's, I love how he handles things. So that's a newer podcast.
Nice. Well, I will just wrap this up, this segment, with a quick comment here. First off, Heather, you reminded me, Downton Abbey is great. We love it too. Yeah. We watch that and we watch the movies and we watch the show, and it's all good. But that reminded me, because I don't know why I forgot about this, because literally last night we watched like three episodes in a row of the current season of The Great British Bake Off, because I love that because it is lighthearted. It's not like serious drama like American, you know, even American like cooking shows are. They always have to put some weird competition on it, and they're all like mean about it. But these guys are just nice. They're genuinely sad when somebody gets kicked off the show.
Yeah.
and you learn something. You learn something about baking, and it's just I don't know. It's fun. It's really fun.
I do enjoy that.
Lighthearted. It's good stuff. So and if you haven't,
make it better.
Right. And if you haven't watched it, we also watched, I think there was only one season, but the British Pottery Throwdown. Maybe there's two seasons of it. Yeah. It's very similar to the baking show, but with pottery. Okay. And it's just really good in the same sort of vein. So,
there's going to be another season, at least, because they've one of the museums in Stoke upon Trent, which is a big pottery place, massive pottery production, closed down recently for filming, which people got a little, why are they closing it down? And they're like, oh, but it makes enough money to keep it open for the rest of the year, sort of thing, as people explain. So that happened maybe a couple of months ago. So I would say unless I'm pretty sure this has been on for a while. Yeah, there's going to be another season at some point.
Nice. Well, it's only come to the U.S. market, I think, the last couple of seasons. So, and I think it's another show that Netflix has kind of bought and ignited for the U.S. Oh, my wife is telling me off screen there. It's HBO. So if you've got HBO, that's where it's at. No. Yeah. But anyway, all right. So with that, I think let's go ahead and take a break. Just so everybody knows, I won't be on the next two segments. Doug is going to take over hosting of the show. And we will, I will personally see you in a couple of weeks. And the rest of them will see you on the other side of this break. Back in a minute.
Hi, Chris.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Well, welcome back, everyone. And actually, I was just thinking of some of the stuff that you guys had mentioned. Well, Chris and Heather had mentioned about like your music and sort of like going on tempos and stuff. I realize I'm actually quite different in that, like, I've never actually been able to have, duty calls. I need to put shoes on a doll for my daughter real quick. while I'm doing that, I was going to say,
you can multitask. We believe in you, Doug.
You can do this.
You can talk and tie a shoe at the same time.
Focus.
Guys, that was a whole last segment. I said I couldn't do two things at once.
But you're proving yourself wrong.
No, it's just this mad dad skills. I just got done really quick.
Yeah.
I was actually going to say, I'm probably, I don't know, maybe you guys are a little different as well, but like I don't actually, you know how like people have like workout mixes and like, you know, high tempo, that's where you throw in your heavy metal sort of stuff, or, you know, your more hardcore rap or whatnot. I actually don't, I don't know, maybe because I have like no beat whatsoever in terms of like, my wife is chronically embarrassed by me and my inability to sing or hold a tune, but I can pretty much like listen to any music and it doesn't actually have to have a tempo to it for what I'm doing. So I end up just sort of listening to the most random range of stuff when I'm doing work. And I actually, like a few weeks ago, I refound my old iPod, and it's a weird experience. I don't know if you guys have, if you could find yours buried, or, you know, if you want to go further back and mixtapes and your CDs and pull those out as well. But it was an interesting experience to be like, yeah, man, like the music of my youth, some of it was like, it was amazing. It holds up, like Modest Mouse, Bone Thugs and Harmony. Amazing. Yeah. And then you're like, some of the stuff you listen to, you're like, oh, actually, it's not that great. It was a very surreal experience I had recently. I'm still having, because I'm using it now for my workouts and stuff, and basically just put it on shuffle.
Right.
And yeah, it's been a bit humbling. It's been nice to know that, like, yeah, I did have some good taste back in the day, but also sometimes I'm just like, it was a popular song, but it shouldn't have been.
No, but that's okay. And what I found, what I do with the music stuff, and this really helps, I find, for archaeology in general and sort of field projects, I make the equivalent of a mixtape, you know, on my iPhone, and I do it every semester. So I have like fall 21, spring 22, and I do a summer one too. So I have three a year. And what I do is I put a list on there of like 20 songs that I'm currently listening to. So it's a cool mix of like old stuff that I like, yep, with recent stuff. And that's the soundtrack of that experience. You know, that's the soundtrack of, oh, we were working in the field.
And then it brings back memories. Yes.
Totally.
That's great.
It's the only way to roll. I've been doing it for years. I used to make mixtapes when we would drive down to Belize or whatever. And so I recommend it to everyone. Just make a mix for yourself, you know, however it works for you, twice a year, three times a year. You listen to it and you're right back to sitting out there in the middle of the desert in that CRM gig. You know what? Where you forgot your raincoat.
I love that. That's great. For me, it's similar because I still had these memories, but to make it myself, although that's going to take work on my part. But so we're on Spotify, the family, and my kids make up. They're 18 and 21, and they make up their, you know, their listening, whatever their soundtracks is, like, you know, like what we did with mixed tapes, and and so I just steal those.
Right.
And you know, and it's you know, it's a reward after teaching over the years them good music, because it's not just the, you know, they really like the old stuff. My son goes from, you know, like the 40s, 1940s, all the way up to current, and so it's a really fun mix of music, and it's good music. And so, at least to me, it's good music. So that's usually what I use, but they mix it up quite a bit. So, but I love that option with Spotify, is you could just, you know, pick other people's, you know, music lists and not actually do the work.
You can use somebody else's mixtape. Basically, you can pop in somebody else's mixtape.
Yeah.
I see, Doug, you got something.
Yeah. I actually have some questions on stuff. So like, back in the day, most of my music basically just came from my friends, where I'd like go over it on like an evening and we just like burn CDs. And then, you know, I'm just a little too young for you guys and your cassette tapes, but
whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
But it was that. And then, you know, everyone went digital, and then you could just, you know, rip everyone's music off of their iPod, their lists and whatnot. And then now, yeah, I sometimes just sort of do random Spotify. When we moved, you could no longer get Pandora, so I don't even know if Pandora is even still a thing, because it's not something you could get over in the UK. Random sort of listening to the radio, and now like Amazon, like, you know, you can ask for like, give me a rock, and then, or alternative rock or rap, or, you know, you can give it a sort of a genre and then listen through, and you skip like every other one because not all of it's great. But yeah, how do you pull in your music? Or are you frozen in time with high school and anything? There was something where I've seen something about how, like, basically they say like a lot of people's tastes are made in high school, but I kind of find like, yeah, I like music from my childhood, but also I some modern stuff's not too bad either.
Yeah. You know, I think for me, I enjoy learning about new music from my kids and actually from people that I work with. You know, they'll play something. I'm like, oh, I like that, you know, and I usually just kind of lean on the people that I'm with and when they're playing music. And
yeah, I'm basically a classic rock cake with a frosting of like modern stuff. You know what I mean?
So it's gotta be good, though.
Right. A typical mixtape, you know, for me is like a lot of Van Halen, because Van Halen with David Lee Roth is my favorite. And I enjoy guitar stuff. I have a bunch of surf guitar stuff on it just because I dig that kind of stuff, you know. But I'll throw anything in it. Rolling Stones, Indigo Girls, you know, it's just a funny mix. But then new stuff. And like Heather, you said, it's fun to learn from your kids. Like my daughter will bring stuff up and she's 14, you know, and I'm like, oh, hey, this is pretty good. So, you know, dad has, you know, one or two new things in his classic rock world. Yep.
That was what my dad did. And I just kind of, not that I intentionally did that, but it's a fun way to expand your music interests and or podcast interests or TV shows, right?
Yeah.
The Summer I Turned Pretty is a show that my daughter loves. Huh. And I got into it. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. And then there was another show. I can't remember. It's a younger show, but you know, that for me as a parent, I love to share with them. And so that's how it kind of opens up my listening repertoire and my watching repertoire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you guys, when you were out in the field, did you ever have a site radio? Obviously, like you can't do it when, you know, you're on watching briefs and, you know, stuff like that and heavy machinery and stuff. But sometimes people just take out, sometimes even just computer speakers or whatever speakers, plug in. I mean, well, when I started out, it would be cassettes and then CDs and then, now it's everyone's phones.
I've done that before with fields. There are certain instances we don't do it. And that is, you know, if we're dealing with burials and stuff, just out of respect. But for, in general, we do play music. I haven't done it for a while, but used to have where everybody kind of contributes some music. And I think I understand people having their own music, but it turns out to be a very sterile and non-collaborative environment when everybody has their own earphones in their head.
Yeah.
And that's just me personally. I want people talking, and I'm not going to like dictate it, but that's how I prefer a field environment to be, where either people are chatting amongst themselves and have music in the background rather than having the earphones in their head and everybody's closed off to each other. And, you know, to me, if you're doing STPs and you're kind of hopping around and you're not working with another person and you're separated from each other, okay. But I just don't think it's as fun. And I think it really impacts the collaborative environment of the field work.
Yeah, I totally agree. What we do is the students are really great. So if they're working out at the site or whatever, one person gets to put the music on their phone and they get to put their phone in the bucket because the bucket.
Yes. Oh my God. That's so funny.
So who gets the bucket? You know, and that's really fun. You know, always my turn for the bucket. You know, it's just I love it. And like you're saying, it adds a real like community aspect. Everyone's having fun. Everyone's interacting. Yeah. You know, who gets the bucket next?
And you learn about each other when you're listening to other people's music. You're really learning. And yeah, I think I just don't like the earphone thing. It really you can tell a completely different environment.
Right.
Yeah. And I love the bucket thing. That's a really good advice. I use the same thing. And I don't know if maybe I learned it from you.
No, yeah, I don't know. I feel like I just learned it from like the earth. I don't know. It's like one day I knew of the bucket thing.
I was like, oh, I don't have a speaker. Let's try this. And it works great. Yeah.
Wait, sorry, guys. I'm lost. The bucket thing?
You stick the phone in the bucket and it amplifies the sound.
Yeah. 5 gallon
it
bucket.
It makes it louder. It's like a speaker.
Yeah.
Like plastic, metal, plastic. What does it matter?
Plastic.
I it probably does matter, but plastic works really well. Just regular old Home Depot orange bucket.
Put the volume all the way up, stick it in there, and put it in the middle of the field work, and you'd be surprised. It's not as good as a speaker, but it works pretty well.
Uh-huh.
So, like, you're talking hard plastic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, see, in the UK, I mean, there is some, but they tend to use a lot like a soft plastic bucket. So I'm not sure if that would work at all. I'll have to see.
It's worth a try. I think it will. I think it wouldn't make too much difference.
Yeah. Well, it's real. Like it's basically like if you replaced a basket, like a soft woven basket with like the plastic. So I feel like for my limited physics class, it shouldn't work as well. But I don't know, but we'll have to give it a try.
But it might just be the idea of it's in sort of a cup thing and it angles the sound, you know, so.
You should want something absorbing the sound. That's all. Mm-hmm. That's why the hard plastic is nice. But, you know, if you don't have it, you do what you, you know, use what you do have.
Right.
Do any of your projects still do radio, or is it all people's phones now?
In my experience, it's like all people's phones.
Yeah. For the most part, and now, like if I'm listening to radio, a lot of times it's on my phone that I'm listening to. Like I have the app for that radio station on my phone.
Me too.
Yeah. I remember when we. First doing lab work when internet radio and you could like pick up a radio station from like South Africa or something like that. Right. And we did that for a couple of months because it was cool. Different.
Yeah.
And then we just kind of went back to the regular radio after a while. Because it was, you know, early days. Well, okay, it wasn't early days of the internet, but it was early days of radio on the internet. And so you got some really eclectic things just because it was the people who did it as opposed to like there was actually a business case and everyone was putting up stations. Well, guys, with that, shall we end this segment and then come back and talk about TV shows?
Sure.
Sounds good.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. I'm just going to jump back a little bit to something Chris had said in the first segment, which was about like he likes certain comedy shows that you could basically just turn off to. And, you know, I have a couple of those. I figure I'd just share and then I'll throw it out to Andrew and Heather to see which ones you guys have. But I'd say like some good go-to comedy ones that I like that I can rewatch. So like, and it helps, you know, sometimes it's more actually when I'm doing work, I could just put something on the background as well. Ones are like a really good sort of light one that I think was really funny was Chuck. I don't know if you guys ever watched that.
No.
I cannot recommend it enough. Like it's obviously like it was at a time where it's closer to like the sort of older sitcom, not high budget sort of things. But it's a very light, people doing good, not taking itself too serious, but just pretty general. I think it walks a nice line between it does have a few serious moments where you get to connect with the characters and feel emotional. But it's not like, say, I don't know, like a Big Bang where there's never really a serious, well, I don't know, I stopped watching after a couple of seasons, but there was never actually a really serious episode. But I'd have to say like Chuck is a pretty good one. For like comedies, Parks and Rec, I also like as well. If I'm recommending things to people, one of those ones where maybe you skip the first season, I kind of feel like there's actually a lot of TV shows I recommend, but I'm like, yeah, guys, you should watch this. But just like start in season two after they've kind of figured out everything and got their footing. Right. I find that with a lot of shows, it takes a little while to really actually sort of develop characters. And it's really weird because you watch a show and like the first season usually has nothing to do with what develops after. Like they decide to change characters and there's usually like they put in a lot of conflict for some reason. I find in a lot of like first seasons, even of comedies, where people like hate each other, but really you're looking for like those ultimate more friendship ones for the sort of relaxed. But what other shows do you guys have for your sort of zone out comedies?
Ooh, zone out comedy. I recently really like Murders in the Building, but that's not even zone out exactly, but it's funny. Although it's Steve Martin and Martin Short, but it's on Hulu. So I do think as we talk about this, you know, the new world of where shows go, it's going to depend what, if you're out there in the field, you know, what you have on your phone, like, oh man, I have HBO Max, but I don't have, you know, pick another, you know, I don't have Hulu, I don't have Disney, you know, so it's going to depend. But I like Murders in the Building. I think I like Ted Lasso. Ted Lasso was pretty funny. That's a fairly new one, which I believe is, God, I can't see. I can't
Amazon.
Remember. Yeah, it's Amazon. It's Amazon.
Yeah. Well, so also like Murder in the Buildings, I like as well. But we get it on Disney over here.
Yes.
It is also one of those things where it's a bit tough sometimes. Like there'll be like American shows that we can't just get. We have to sort of pirate online, or we just have to wait for like 6 months. Mm-hmm. And then it comes to one of the many bajillion streaming services that are out there.
Right.
But yeah. So yeah, guys, I mean, I think Amazon's universal for all their shows because they want to conquer the world. But for most everywhere else, yeah, it's going to be all mixed up. And I'm sure like people right. in Canada don't have the same platforms.
Exactly. So maybe we'll just go with the understanding that, hey, these are all on all different kind of platforms. You know, it's just stuff that we tend to like. But yeah, that's about what I have for comedies. It's funny. As I made my list of stuff I tend to watch, I'm kind of a dark person. That's what I've learned.
You know, I think that people have, it's turned that way. I mean, in the 80s and 90s, like most of the TV shows were more the 80s, were comedies. Yeah. Even if they were just family sitcoms, they were still, you know, with comedians. And mm-hmm. so I that is kind of, you know, that's when we grew up. So that's right. kind of what's comfortable for us. I have, for me, I like stand-up comedy. So I don't really, I do watch, like I watch, I really like Seinfeld and kind of the old mainstays. I like Dip and Dyke Show, the old. I know. It's really old. I'm not that old, everybody, but I was raised by my grandparents. And so my style, I think it kind of skipped a generation. What was being imparted to me by my parents was my grandparents. But mm-hmm. For me, I stumble across, goes into my feed are different comedians, new comedians. And some I like, some I don't like. And this, my new one is Sebastian Maniscalco, I think is how you say his name. But he's a very like New York, he really plays up the New York. And I love, my husband's from Philly and he's very Philly. Mm-hmm. And he's a very funny guy, my husband. And so I like that. And this guy's hilarious. I mean, he just really plays up that East Coast New Yorker and just that view of looking at life from that lens. And so I think he's hilarious. So for me, it's more of a stand up comedy thing that mm-hmm. I listen to or watch. Yep.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. It's funny, as I look at my list of darkness, like I realize that I do, like you do, Heather, a lot of times I'll watch TV like at night, you know, but yeah. I want something sort of chunky. So if I'm out there, like, you know, staying at the Motel 6 in the middle of nowhere on my monitoring job that I'm on for 6 months, you know, I think at the end of the night, what I would want to do is like go back to my hotel, take a shower, and then watch something like Breaking Bad. Like Breaking Bad is my favorite show of all time. It's one I've watched multiple times, you know?
Yeah, and it's also, good. How about, sorry, do you like the Saul one?
I do like Better Call Saul. That's a great show too. But
thank you. Yeah.
Breaking Bad too, like the awful hotel that's in Breaking Bad where like all the hookers are in the meth. I was on a CRM gig. Yeah. Where I was like, I stayed at this hotel. Yeah. So you can sort of have a closeness to it.
Well, no, I've actually been to that hotel. I mean, that show has helped like my life so much being in like a foreign country. Uh-huh. 'Cause people will be like, oh, where are you from? And then like, you know, after we get past that whole like Canadian American, I'll be like American. Right. And they're like, oh, we're in America. And it used to be like New Mexico.
Yeah.
Which then people about 30% of the times got confused and were like, oh, Mexico? Yes, yes. I've been to Cancun. I was like, no, not that Mexico. But thanks to Breaking Bad, I can be like, yeah, you know, his high school, that was my high school. So literally, they filmed the outside of the high school.
No way. Oh, it was
the high school I went to, but the inside was filmed at a different high school. But yeah, like, so actually I've the Hooker Hotel is on Central in Albuquerque. Yeah, so I So I actually really like that show as well, but it has also helped my life, like, to no end, being able to be like, New Mexico, you guys know Breaking Bad? And like 90% of the time people do.
Sure. Yep.
And it helps so much to be able to explain where I'm from.
That's awesome.
But Andrew, do you want to? Oh, sorry.
I was just going to say, when I'm in a hotel, my thing is I'll watch channels that I'm not willing to pay for at home. But I like to flip through. And for me also, I think I go through stages of interest. Like when the Queen passed away, I was into all these, you know, royal shows and explaining about the royal family and everything. It just kind of went down that hole for a little while, and that was fun. And then, you know, you have like during December 7th or Veterans Day or whatever, and you get all the World War II shows. Totally. And then, you know, I'll look at the history, and I love history. I can't get enough of it. That's just my thing. So
I was just about to ask Angie to take us to the darkness, but before that, I was actually going to see. So, I mean, with smart TVs now, we also watch like a lot of YouTube, because you now have like content makers who do a pretty decent job of like going through Wikipedia and then turning that into a video. I exaggerate a little bit, but not much. But yeah, there's some good ones on there that like we sort of enjoy as a family, which are like The Company Man, which he basically just looks at the history of companies, mainly in the US. You just find out some really random stuff, and then you also kind of figure out why like certain hotel or restaurant chains you never see anymore. It's because they went bankrupt or got bought out, stuff like that. But yeah, his is pretty interesting. There's a show that's like three levels of cooks, which is like your amateur cook, your sort of semi like your cook who likes to actually cook, and then like a professional cook, and you see them take one dish and make it three different ways, and that's pretty nice. And I mean, there's a lot of deep dive ones on shows like, you know, what happened with this person's career, what happened with this TV show or this movie, which is pretty good. And I mean, we used to watch, I used to like, it was like Honest Trailers, which, obviously only like 2 minutes, but they're pretty good, but they kind of went downhill. But we watch a new one, which is like Pitch Meeting, which is this guy, and he plays both characters, which is like the script writer or the person pitching, and then like a movie exec. And they just sort of make fun of movies. He's like, and they point out like obvious plot holes in the stuff, and they're like, are we going to address that? He's like, nope. Moving on. And it's just kind of funny stuff like that. I enjoy.
Right. Now, you know, on YouTube, I just watch King Kella Teaches Archaeology like all the time on Endless
Loop.
That's
why you have so many views.
It's so great. Yeah, that's all me. That's all me. Just constantly.
No surprise. But yeah,
no, I love the YouTube thing too. It's fun to go down any rabbit holes on stuff you really love. Like I like working on guitars. So I watch like guitar videos all the time. Yeah. I probably do that a lot, but, in terms of bringing us to the darkness.
Darks, yes. Everybody's waiting.
I would say, yeah, waiting with bated breath. Heather, you already brought up some of the war movies. I have watched Band of Brothers like 10 times.
Yeah.
I've watched The Pacific like 10 times. And these are series that have like 10 episodes, and they're like historical. I mean, they're very historical. I don't even want to call them historical fiction. I mean, they talk about the real people in these instances. And I just think those are amazing. If you want a real deep dive, if you like, I love The Vietnam War by Ken Burns.
Oh, that's like,
yeah.
I've watched part.
Dude.
Yeah.
It's like a 10-parter. You know, this is one, each part's like an hour and a half or however long they are. But good
Ken
God,
Burns
that will
great, though. Yeah.
That will shatter your soul. The Vietnam War, and especially, you know, so many of us still, like my uncle was in Vietnam. You know, I know people who were of that era and had those personal experiences. And just when you have seen personally what that can do to shatter a family, you know, you're like, oh my God, the Vietnam War is a masterpiece. So that's my true sort of darkness kind of stuff. I would also just recommend on my list Mad Men, which is a really kind of show with a lot going, you know, the 50s. You don't like Mad Men?
No, actually, this is a huge fight between my wife and I.
Well, she's right.
She thinks it's the greatest show that's ever existed. And
she's correct.
They say you're correct.
I like the show. And it's funny that you don't like it and she likes it.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And I have to say, on top of it, I also have a film degree. So I was a double major in archaeology and film. So anything I say is correct. You know? Yeah. So, Mad Men is the second greatest show of all time behind Breaking Bad.
It's weird. I can agree with your first choice.
Yeah.
But that second, no, man.
Yeah, like, you got it.
She's tried. She's tried so many times to explain how great it is. And I'm just like, I can enjoy a nice slow show that sort of builds and has a little tension here. And so I just,
This reminds me of, so I watched 1886 or 1883, whatever the show is, that's like the prequel to Yellowstone, right?
Yeah.
I loved it. It went a little squirrely at the end, but I really liked that show a lot. I related to it. I have my ancestors that took that exact same route and everything. And so I've done some genealogical research on it and really enjoy, you know, seeing these kinds of things. And I felt like I was watching my great grandmother do this, right? But then I watched Yellowstone, and no matter how hard I tried, just cannot get into that show. And everybody loves it. And I'm like, it's too slow.
That's so funny.
I just can't get into it. I feel bad, but I just can't.
It's okay. You know,
I was going to say, I have a dark thing too. So we got, I've mentioned it a couple of times, we have a sailboat. And I bought a sailboat and did not know how to sail. So, so my husband is actually not that a big fan of water, which is kind of a problem. But he was very supportive of me buying the boat. He'll go out and party on it. It's his party apartment, but he won't go out in the water with me. And he has this like deal that he makes me watch these boating disaster shows.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And now I've actually started enjoying them. And so that's what we watch a lot of times is what's like whatever kind of show, a documentary, any kind of weird show, a movie, anything that depicts what the worst things that could go wrong while you're out in the seas, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's our dark. That's our dark watch.
Oh, that's great. You know, I have one more that is archaeologically adjacent, a show that I love. It's called Reservation Dogs, and it's young people on the reservation, and I just think it's a fantastic the scripts are great, like it's so current, you know. And when you work in archaeology and you work with native groups so often too, you will get a bunch of the in jokes, which is really, really fun, you know, from the archaeology side of things. So that show is killer. So funny. It's funny and tragic at the same time. I can't recommend that one highly enough. Reservation Dogs.
Yeah, we just finished it. And actually, it kind of felt a bit like it was really nice to watch a show that sort of felt like home, because, you know, where I was at was just basically surrounded by reservations. And there's some jokes I'm pretty sure people just won't understand.
Yeah.
And probably have to, like, I'm sure there's websites that will tell you everything you need to know about it, but that is a great show.
I have to ask, like, a brother, he's a friend that's like a brother to me that lives on the Navajo reservation. And I wonder if he's watched that. I've heard of it though. I haven't seen it.
It's actually brilliantly written as well. And it's all native cast, all native writers, all native crew, I believe as well. And yeah, it's quite a great show.
It's great killer. Show. Super creative too. Like it's one of my faves.
I was actually going to say, like, if we're doing semi archaeology adjacent, and this is probably my shame show, but you know, a show I really could enjoy and just put on the background, any of the Stargates. I'm sorry, Andrew. I know you got the pseudo archaeology podcast, but I can just like turn off like all that nonsense and just enjoy it as a sort of light, fun sci-fi show.
Why not? What's so funny is like people might think that because I do the pseudo archaeology podcast, I'm totally cool with all that stuff. I'm happy to enjoy that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
And as long as you admit that what yeah. it is what it is. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
It's, yeah. As long as it's not on the History Channel, you know, shown as this is the truth. No, I right. love that kind of stuff. I love it.
Speaking
you know
of itself. Yeah. Yeah. I have to, it's not archaeology adjacent, but I have to, and like these things are starting to pop in my head. It's been a little while since I've watched it, but I went into this. So I'm a hockey person. Actually, my first career was in hockey. So Letterkenny and Trailer Park Boys. Those are, if you like hockey, talk about something that's like self-deprecating, really funny from somebody who understands hockey. It's still a fun, they're fun comedy shows. They're Canadian, but those two shows I love and I could watch them over and over again.
It's a great way to bond with like Canadians. If you just mention Trailer Park Boys, they just are like, oh my God, you're my best friend, eh?
Yeah.
And you just gotta be like, how about those Trailer Park Boys? And then, yeah, you've made a friend for life.
Right.
Do you guys have any other of your sort of guilty pleasure shows before we wrap
guilty
this up?
Pleasure.
I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, sure, Andrew. I open up about Stargate, and then you're just like, "Oh no, no, I'm good."
That's a guilty. I mean, like I could watch those over and over again. I don't care what people say about it. Those are just pure fun,
right?
So I guess Indiana Jones would be a guilty pleasure,
dude. That's yeah. No, I love all that kind of stuff. Like I'll watch whatever you know. Like I watched that boat show like on the Mediterranean, whatever it is, the Below Decks. There's a guilty pleasure. Below Deck Mediterranean. That show is horrible. But I put it on like while that's when I put on while I'm doing work. You know, that's just like a bunch of young people on a boat, you know, and it's like all the shenanigans. Like, oh, my God, I can't believe that Christopher is sleeping with Elise. It's that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is it like, okay. So is it like, what's the Housewives like yes. spinoffs? There's been, what is, oh my gosh. Okay. This is a really funny story. Really, really quick. I promise. So we were, oh my gosh, it's a spinoff from Vanderhoof's and it's about a bar and it's Sir. It's the show is called Sir. Anyway, I think it's still on. But anyway, it's a reality show. And we went in and my husband's like, he's from Philly. And he had just moved here for us to be together. And he's like, let's go there. It'd be really fun. So we go there and it's literally, I mean, it's in the height of the show and the place is packed. And it's right by the Abbey, which is a gay bar in L.A. It's very close to it. Anyway, so we walk in and it is literally there's 15 people back from the bar or more maybe. And so I go up and I'm like, this is ridiculous. So anyway, so I go over to this guy wearing black. He's kind of a bouncer or whatever. And I ask him, say, hey, how do I get in there and not have to wait? You know, he goes, he looks at me and he looks at my husband and he says, no problem. Don't worry about it. And he goes and sits us at the best table in the house. And I'm like, that's really weird, you know, like all these people. And he literally clears this table off and has to sit down. And we're sitting there and Stassi and Jax are the two like main characters. They're like they're serving us. They actually work there. And we're like blown away. So this was right after the Kings won their first Stanley Cup. And my husband works for professional hockey leagues, or at the time he did. And he had a all-star ring, like a big all-star ring that looked just like the Kings championship ring that the players wore after they won. And the whole day, the whole night, we were like literally being waited on. We had free drinks. We were waited on like king and queen. It was so weird. And then all of a sudden we realized they thought we were part of the Kings organization, I guess. And anyway, so that's a guilty pleasure. Are those kind of silly, like Sir or Desperate Housewives, just right. like train wreck. You have to watch them.
And actually, for me, those are guilty pleasures because I truly can tune out and do my work for a while because it's okay. You miss half an hour or whatever. Yeah. You know what's happening. You know,
and it's just it's just fun, fun nothingness.
Right.
So to somewhat end. Sorry, just thinking about our conversation. So a great show that was cut down in its prime. And by prime, I think I only got like a season. I really hate when like great shows do that. But
totally.
Did you guys ever watch Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23?
No. Never heard of it.
Well, because it only lasted like a season.
Don't Trust the Bee.
Yeah. Well, it's don't, they scratched out. Don't trust the bitch. And yeah.
Oh.
And, but I think cause it was on network TV, they scratched it out. So it's don't trust the bee.
Okay.
And Apartment 23, absolutely one of the best comedies. It was great, but there's, was an episode where the main character, well, one of the main characters, Chloe, who's the girlfriend from Breaking Bad.
Oh.
Jesse's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah, who also became Jessica Jones. I can't remember the actress's name. But, like, she decides, like, every Halloween to basically destroy someone's life. And one of the people, they do a montage of why she chooses these people. And one of the people she destroys, decides to destroy their life is, like, this guy's just like, what? You've never watched The Wire? Let me sit here and tell you why this is the greatest TV show in the world. It just somewhat reminds me a little bit of our conversation there. I love that moment because you do get those people who are like, what? You don't watch Mad Men?
Right. And I just say The Wire kicks ass too.
All right. On that note,
this
you guys
been
have
a lighthearted, fun one.
There you
Thanks,
go.
Thanks, Doug.
Yep. I think we'll, unless you guys have any last shows you want to throw out there for our listeners to watch, to listen to, I don't know, at some point, I assume we're going to have like some sort of chemical reaction thing where you can experience the show.
Yes.
Do you guys have any last minute ones before we bring this to a close?
No. I've truly debased myself by admitting to Below Deck Mediterranean. So, you know, I'm good.
I was going to say, Andrew, like there's guilty pleasures and then there's like guilty pleasures you don't tell people.
I know. Why didn't you text me before to stop me?
I did it too. I admitted to watching Desperate Housewives. So, and sir, so.
Yeah, guys, I threw out my like, you know, semi-okay one to be, it's what you were supposed to do.
I know. Oops.
We don't mind being vulnerable. That's okay. Yeah, that's right. Hold back, Doug. Whatever.
That's right.
Well, I was vulnerable. I told you guys how much I hate Mad Men.
Mad Men.
Yeah.
That's probably going to get us like a lot of angry emails. Yeah. Probably more angry. This is probably going to get us more angry emails than anything we've ever received. Just like, and Doug, let me like tell you why Mad Men is the greatest show.
What are you thinking?
That email was from me, by the way. That was me writing that to you.
What kind of archaeologist are you that you don't like Mad Men?
What's a human
Obviously
being?
It's a good one.
All right, guys. Well, yep. With that, I think we'll bring this episode to a close.
That's it for another episode of the CRM Archaeology Podcast. Links to some of the items mentioned on the show are in the show notes for this podcast, which can be found at www.arcpodnet.com/CRM Arc Podcast. Please comment and share anywhere you see the show. If you'd like us to answer a question on a future episode, email us. Use the contact form on the website or just email chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com. Support the show and the network at arcpodnet.com/members. Get some swag and extra content while you're there. Send us show suggestions and interview suggestions. We want this to be a resource for field technicians everywhere, and we want to know what you want to know about.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us this week. And thanks also to the listeners for tuning in. And we'll see you in the field. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
See you guys next time.
This episode was produced by Chris Webster from his RV traveling the United States, Tristan Boyle in Scotland, DigTech LLC, Cultural Media, and the Archaeology Podcast Network, and was edited by Chris Webster.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.